Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's going on, everybody? Eric Lindquist at Stochastic coming to you with your PGA DFS first look for the Mexico Open. Hit that like button, subscribe button, notification bell. Goes a long way for me on this video. Goes a long way for you. That way you become apprised whenever great content is going live here at our little neck of the YouTube woods. This is going to be one of the wilder golf events cover all season long, and I'll get to a couple of the reasons why. But first, DraftKings Rainmakers, check this out. Thought I would show you at least the construction of how it's a little bit different from DFS. You know, just kind of mixing it up, showing the people different things. But during this contest type, we're taking NFTs. You're going to have the possession of the player cards, different serial numbers attached to them. You can get your free starter pack signing up at the link below, but you have a captain spot where it gets 1.5x the number of fantasy points, just like in Showdown for NFL or NBA or any of the other Showdown sports that you guys know and love over at Rainmakers. But this is for the classic contest. It still exists. And then you have four golfers that get their regular fantasy points. So instead of six golfers, like we have in the PGA DFS streets at DraftKings, here we are looking for five. Yes, just five players. So it's even more condensed and it's going to get frickin' wild. And why is that? Well, John Rahm is $12,000. John Rahm is inside of plus 300. He's better than 3-1 in a PGA Tour golf tournament. As Ben Raza would say, tournament. I say tournament because I'm from the Midwest like a normal person. But John Rahm is $12,000. Oh, but wait. We had two, the top golfers' tool friends. And John Rahm. What is going on? This is insane. I can't remember a time, and I didn't know what to expect pulling this up. So let's start with this. We're at the Mexico Open at Vedanta. It's a resort golf course. Greg Norman designed, which is super ironic and hilarious. But par 71, it's generally par 73 for the resort version of the golf course, but they have two really long par fours. It's going to be nearly 7,500 yards, but fairways super wide. Very scoreable. One of the top 12 easiest golf, depending on what you look at. There's an 11th and a 12th, whatever. Adjusted strokes per round. This is one of the easier golf courses that still exists on tour, despite the length, despite being par 71 in that regard. And my God, I can't remember a golf tournament that just set up better for the two guys who are at the very top of the board. John Rahm, Tony Finau. You go through the rest of this. It is the Corrales Punta Cana with John Rahm and Tony Finau. That's what we're breaking down this week in the PGA DFS First Look, but I'm going to give you my best shot, try to give you some keys to the castle. Hopefully this helps, but let's just start with John Rahm because this is an egg that is very difficult to crack what we're supposed to be doing. And, you know, normally you could just say, set it, forget it. Certain people say, play 100%. There's other people who are saying, you can't play somebody who's 63% in golf, in a sport like golf. There are going to be people on both ends of the aisle, but I urge you, think better than that. Think better than that. It's not as simple as 100% or 0% or I'm going to be at the field or something like that. Think about the combination of players that you're going to have in that lineup. Think about what else is in that lineup. Think about the skill sets that are grouped within the lineup. Think about the tee time draws that you can potentially have and still incorporate Tony Finau in your lineups and be underweight or overweight. It's ironic because this entire situation, it's kind of like the inverse of what we ran into in the MLB DFS streets. Fernando Tatis, for those who don't play MLB DFS, he's one of the best hitters in baseball. He was suspended for 80 games. He had 20 games left on his suspension in 2023. He comes back. He is at shortstop, which is a position he doesn't even play anymore because he's playing right field with Xander Bogaerts, now a part of that baseball team coming over from the Red Sox. But he was $2,000, and every other shortstop is sitting $5,000 plus that you really wanted to be getting to. And I urged people to just stack up the Padres with Xander Bogaerts instead. He's only shortstop, just like Fernando Tatis is only shortstop. And you think about what can possibly go wrong. But the huge difference is, in a sport like golf, at least there's a lot of predictability with these players at the top. We have seen time and time again, Jon Rahm wins golf tournaments with elite fields. He's done it bunches of times already. Has a green jacket now. Really cool stuff. Enjoy Augusta National for the rest of your life. That's probably the thing I'm the most jealous about. Not the money. Well, the money, let's be serious, but also gets to play Augusta National and hang out there for the rest of his life. Take your dad out there, have a nice little stroll. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. Jon Rahm is better than minus 250 to finish in the top 10. We're in the top five. Do you know how insane that is? He won this golf tournament last year too, which just adds a whole nother dimension to this madness. But I have to at least just start talking about him and what I'm planning to do in these tournaments. Once again, Ben Rouser just leaking to everything that I say. But I think the whole key is that with a $12,000 Jon Rahm, it limits how much you can get different with the rest of your lineup. So I'm going to just explain it this way. Instead of doing the single entry build this week, I want to just talk through the process, because now there's 7,600 that we have remaining here per player. That opens up a lot of this board for combinations of two of them that would be very difficult to build with Jon Rahm. See 6,233. You're going to put Hogard and Noren. 6,500. It is so difficult to build out this lineup in an efficient way. You can't do it, really. And I talked about how the rest of this golf tournament is pretty wide open. There's still some pockets of it that I find very appealing. I find the 7K range to be very, very appealing. But what I'm getting at is that Jon Rahm at $12,000 is going to be in over 63% of the lineups this week. I've never seen this for a golf tournament. So as a thinking exercise, it's simply, what are these grouping of players that I can get to that other people can't? What's the combination of players that are at the top of the top golfers tool that are completely incapable, even if they have negative leverage? Who are the people that Jon Rahm lineup builders cannot get to? Because there is a definite scenario where Jon Rahm finishes top three and might not be optimal in this golf tournament. Now, if he finishes first or second, you're probably effed. Like, I've probably screwed you over with this thinking exercise and everything else that I want to be doing here. But Nikolai Hogard is somebody that I really, really like coming into this week. We see him at 9,500. He's got positive leverage. He's got everything that I kind of see. He's 30 to 1 at BetMGM right now in odds to win this golf tournament. He comes from the DP World Tour primarily. Finished second at the Corrales. It got him a couple of extra starts here on the American PGA Tour to check everything out. Hopefully he can get his card, because I really like the game. He's been a winner overseas, so there's an opportunity to really see him come to fruition here. And I like looking at the Corrales and the Puerto Rico Open and the Barracuda and things like that, because we only have 1 year of sample size. And Jon Rahm played well. Everybody else kind of was a distant second. So for me, my beginning of my thinking exercise starts with Nikolai Hogard, who's 9,500, sticks out in the top golfers tool, which, again, sign up for Stochastic Tools. Get all of the tools and content. Get yourself some really cool stuff. And higher optimal percentage than Wyndham Clark and Gary Woodland. I love to see it. So we have a very unowned Nikolai Hogard. But I can also get exposure to somebody else who is at the top of the board. And this is where Benny Ahn kind of makes sense to me. 11.8% optimal percentage. If we're just going off of Stochastic's projections here, betting on fifth, more positive leverage at 9,100. Nobody can put this combination of players together who has John Rahm, because as soon as I add Rahm to the fray here at 12,000, 64, 66, and I have some real, real crappy dudes to surround them with. So Nikolai Højgaard and Benny On sitting right here are just so hard for people to be getting any kind of number to. So, like, we kind of want to be firing it up. Like, that's going to be the game plan. I mean, it's just so hard to imagine a scenario where John Rahm doesn't play well here, but we're at least trying to theorize what we could possibly do to make it somewhat interesting. And I don't want to say fade John Rahm. That's not what the goal of this is. But in terms of single entry, again, there are paths, I believe there are going to be paths where a John Rahm doesn't end up optimal and finishes, you know, top five, and everybody's like, oh, what idiots to fade this guy and yada, 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 and it is what it is. I'm not going to be worried about those people. So Nikolai Højgaard, Benny On, that is how I'm going to be starting a lot of my single entry builds, and wanted to talk through a little bit of that process here with you. There's also, again, I'm trying to figure out the best way to show you guys this. I'm not a producer here. I'm trying to do that. I got some baseball lineups to make here in a little bit as well, but talking you through the process of what I'm planning to do here. The last guy to really throw into the mix, Bo Hostler, played really, really well with Wyndham Clark, and yet Wyndham Clark's getting all the popularity, and Bo Hostler, my dude, is getting none of it. I'm a little bit confused by it, in fact, and that's where we go back to the Top Golfers tool. What are we doing here? There's so much optimal, because that ownership is so condensed on John Rahm. There's so many combinations of players that are untapped. And yes, you are once again drawing dead, more than likely, to a first or second, or probably a third even, from John Rahm. There are a lot of cases and a lot of scenarios of this golf tournament where he puts up a nice score, but you need the other pieces to fill it out. And that's where I'm looking at players who I find to have a lot of upside. And Bo Hostler, not really going to get the recognition that he deserves for as well as what, you know, they played last week. But he's had some nice finishes. He's actually put up some decent results here of late. And this is probably looking like, outside of those four missed cuts, a decent year for him, with an 11th at the AT&T, a 14th for the Waste Management, 46th Valero, 31st to Heritage. That, I mean, whatever. Four missed cuts at bigger field events, but this is not that. I think Bo Hostler makes a lot of sense at 8,800 as a deep flyer that just nobody wants to be playing. And I do like what we saw from him in that lovely little event. So again, Bo Hostler, you can add him to the fray. I think we're done over on DK here for the day, but 75-33. Wanted to at least talk you through how I'm looking at the combination of players and tee time stacks. I'm going to be taking a look at that tomorrow, per usual. You can always go to, this is the best, so here you go. It's going to be windy. There's going to be some wind at times over the course of the weekend. Doesn't look crazy here on Thursday at the moment, but I'm not going to be looking too far ahead into it until tomorrow night. Wednesday night usually is when I kind of make my official weather assumptions, if there are any to be made. Sometimes people overreact. Sometimes they don't react enough. You never really know. This golf course is going to have, I think, players that even when it's windy in certain parts of the draw that still fall through the cracks. So it might be something where I get four golfers from certain tee time stacks. But you can see there's an afternoon break. Joseph Bramlett, I'm actually going to be playing some of him this week. And then another section. You can do that very, very easily by going up here to groups, creating groups, and having it be by round one tee time. You could literally just add every single player from that grouping, 1251. We're going to scroll down to this. Promise I've done this before. Just doing it different. It's different when you're producing. Get nervous. Anyway, so you can see how I'm doing this. I'm taking all the round one tee times. Everybody that has the same side of the draw, you're going to put them into one group. I'm probably going to make that at least four. So if there are pronounced tee time draws as I look at the weather again on Wednesday, which, again, don't get in the habit of looking too far ahead because things change. You're going to want to hear what all the touts, the quote-unquote touts, say. Why is my Twitter on the screen? That's really stupid. I don't want my Twitter to be on the screen. But make sure you can do that as far as the groupings go. Then when you build out, for your 20 max, for your 150 max, you can project. And again, I'm not using any randomness here, so it's just going to go purely by projection there. But all of them, four players from each one that are going to have positive leverage. Oh, sorry, that are going to be from the same tee time stack. And then I always do it by positive leverage. I have a grouping of positive leverage that I create. Little secret sauce, threw it in there. Little Freudian slip there for the people, but I'm happy to tell you because I tell you all the things. I talk you through my process. I just don't know if people are ready. And I got to have some things waiting in the wings to discuss on a rainy day. But to the top golfer's tool we go. And this is where we're going to spend the rest of the day. I'm going to close out of this. I'm going to close out of DraftKings. Let's talk through some of the most positively leveraged, most negatively leveraged, and the most owned players. And John Rahm is going to be paired a lot with Harry Hall. Tony Finau is going to be paired a lot with Harry Hall. Now, some of you might be saying, who the hell is Harry Hall? Well, he's English. No, actually, I'm English. I quote Harry Potter, or not Harry Potter. I quote Austin Powers a lot. It's fun. But he's played really well here in the States. And again, I look at the 7th at Puerto Rico, 13th at the Corrales. It's very frustrating to me. Very frustrating. You know why? Because those are two golf courses, tournaments that look a lot like this. If you just cross out the Finau and Rahm names. So it's pretty frustrating that Harry Hall played well at those. I think I'm going to have a little bit of exposure. But I think what's going to be very fascinating is if you play Hall independent of Rahm and Finau. Now, I don't recommend going crazy with that strategy because Rahm and Finau are by far the class of this field. And all I'm trying to do is talk you through paths where I think there are ways to get away from playing 100% John Rahm, like I'm sure a lot of people are just going to say, oh, you're an idiot for doing whatever. It's a really hard thing to win a tournament when one guy's 65%. You're not gaining any ground when things go well. Okay? That's what I'm getting at. It's the uncomfortability of playing DFS and doing all the things that we do here in these streets. But Harry Hall overall, he's not the best ball striker. And that's where I think I'm a little bit confused on why the ownership is just there in spades right now. Like, he's lost three straight that we have data with strokes gained approach. He's done some crazy things around the green. He's going to be a really good putter, I think, on tour, like a fantastic putter. But I think I'm going to be getting away from him more than not. I will play him in some lineups where I don't have John Rahm. I'll probably play him with a couple of Finaus, but I don't know if he'll make any of my main builds simply because there are so many other spots to go. And I don't find Harry Hall to be that guy that I'm missing out at 19.4%. So just throwing it out there. Wyndham Clark, negative leverage, but I think he's a good play. Another bomber. Somebody who played well last week as well. Steven Yeager, I'm going to be getting away from him. I find it crazy and asinine that he's the fifth highest owned. And Nikolai Høggard, again, still positive leverage. That's why I'm in love with him for the single entry build. I bet him at 30-1. I feel really good about that play overall. Getting into Will Gordon, I think that this is another piece where there's negative leverage, sure. But I mean, it's going to be pretty minimal negative leverage because everybody is playing Finau, and that's just the theme of this entire week. Betting on, though, absolutely love that play at the current ownership. We'll see if that changes both of the Woos. We got Brandon Woo, and then I believe we got Dylan Woo here, too. Check this out. I love Woo, 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 Kenny Woo for all my D2 Mighty Ducks fans. I like both of them as plays. Well, they're not related. They're just both named Woo, and this is fantastic. Need Siwoo Kim in a field. That would be great. We could have the Woo, 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 Kenny Woo grouping. It would be great. But very minimal negative leverage going on either of them. If I had to pick one, it's still going to be Brandon Woo, but he comes with a steeper price tag attached, and all you ROM. I mean, he's a fantastic player. I can't do it at this ownership. Gary Woodland, also the last guy amongst the top end. You're going to get tons of guys that I think end up a little bit more positively leveraged than we're projecting, simply because John Rahm is going to absorb as much as you could possibly believe. So there's a chance Gary Woodland gets to like 9% in single entry, 8% in single entry, depending on what single entry that is. There'll be people. We'll see how cute what people want to get here. Top 6%. Oh my God, 69.4%. It's just purely insane. This whole week is just insane. You either embrace it or you don't. Garrick Higo, more positive leverage. I'm just kind of in love with it. Let's head to that end of the tab here as we get out of here. Taylor Pendrith, I am a little bit surprised to see ownership completely not there for him. Not that he's been an absolute stud there, the Canadian, but I mean, I just think that amongst this field, if you eliminate Ramon Finau, he kind of becomes the class of it, right? I know he hasn't played well of late. Current form is the main reason people aren't firing him up, but I mean, still much better player than just about everybody else over the course of the last year plus. Last spring, I don't know where that form went. I missed that Taylor Pendrith, but either way, we've got a couple of other pieces to take a look at. Aaron Rye, he's got some positive leverage by Duke, Bo Hostler, but Maverick McNeely and Patrick Rogers, who I'm actually going to be shorting in the betting market, but I'm probably going to be playing a little bit when it comes to the old DFS here, mainly because I think he's over. I think he's just, this salary is not correct for what I believe Patrick Rogers to be, but it's lowering his ownership here. And then the betting markets are going nuts with him. He's like got the fifth best odds. He doesn't have our fifth best odds, does he? Yeah, he's sixth. So, I mean, the market is going a little bit insane with Patrick Rogers based on his last 2 weeks. He had missed a bajillion cuts up until the Valero, played really well there, backed it up at the top 20 there at the RBC. And now we're just looking at a price tag that wouldn't have been the case if you took those 2 weeks out of it. He'd be a 7,800 yard or 70. He wishes it was a 7,800 yard golf course. He'd be a $7,800 golfer. So take that for what you will. Smash that like button, subscribe button, notification bell as we finish up with the most negatively leveraged players here. We've got Omar Morales getting a lot of ownership at 6K, 5.7%. What are we doing here? Steven Jagerbombs, again, talked about him a little bit. We're not the favorite play in all the land, but I think there's kind of a trend amongst these. So outside of Rom and Finau, it's a lot of guys who have been playing well, and everybody's jamming these players that have pretty good recent form, unless it's Harry Hall for whatever godforsaken reason. But a lot of guys like the Wyndham Clarks, not Aaron Battle, he's 6,900, but I think he's kind of just a piece that has to fall into lineups. Grayson Sig, a piece that has to fall into lineups. That's going towards the John Rahm puts up 120 and you just need him kind of build. Or, I mean, legitimately 140, 150 in play when you're talking 24 under, which is very well could be that or more. So pay close attention to it. But Cameron Champ, sad to see him. He played well here until a final round last year, so be on the lookout of that. And yeah, to the optimal percentages one more time as well. Robbie Shelton, pretty insane to see him at 8K popping up as much as he is, but that's a piece that I at least wanted to highlight because I'm surprised he's getting any ownership and let alone 12% of it. But definitely want to be paying attention to that. Look at this, weighted 6% for John Rahm, almost half the time. Just insane stuff that we're going to see. So that's about all I have here for this week. It is a crazy golf week. Tread lightly, if you will, with Mr. John Rahm. Do not fade him. Do not play him 100. Well, you could. I can't blame you entirely, but it's going to be very hard to find any kind of leverage in that regard. So I think I'm going to be in the camp that falls a little bit below the field, and we'll see how that works out for me. Bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see how it goes. Hit that like button, subscribe button. Check out DraftKings Rainmakers. What a great product. Get your NFT golfers. Put them together. What could be better than Do You Like My Sweater? Let's get on out of here. I'm Eric Lindquist. Until next week, best of luck at the Mexico Open at Vedanta.